Welcome to the Soccer Speakeasy. Today is Thursday, the 23rd of June. It's coming up on 11 a.m. in the morning as we record here on the third day of summer. Always one of the sadder things to me about nature is that the weather gets good in this part of the world and instantly the days begin to get shorter.
It's kind of morbid.
It should be reversed, yeah. Anyway, aside from the weather, there is big news. The acquisition of Cucho Hernandez, a striker winger, more of a finely tuned offensive player with a sturdy game and a classic South American precise finisher. Smart, can also distribute the ball and takes corners, as a matter of fact. And we'll see where that goes going forward. Cucho Hernandez, I am Mike Arace. Thanks for joining us. Kyle Robertson is here. It's a full crew with Patrick, the Podfather Flaherty, and of course, our fine crew beat writer, Jacob Myers. And we're going to start with Jacob's. Jacob, why don't you just take us through the nuts and bolts of what went down with this much ballyhooed acquisition?
So it was about late last week that it was reported that the Crew were finalizing a deal with Cucho Hernandez and Watford. They had been working on that for some time, and he was in town before that, getting his medical and physical. And, you know, I believe it was on Friday, the media couldn't park in kind of the first few spots at the performance center The Haslams were in town. Oh, so you knew something was going on.
That really ruined your day, huh?
Well, I was on vacation. Oh, yeah. You calling me ruined my day.
That's true.
I was on a golf course when this was going down.
That's why he's the best beat writer in the league, folks. He Nothing takes a like vacation in the middle of the season. But anyway,
you called your shot, though. You said it's going to happen.
Oh, I knew it was going to happen. Yeah, I didn't expect to be breaking the news on the 10th tee, but that's where we were. Anyway, so I believe a few days after that, then was able to confirm the deal was done for a transfer fee of 10 to 10.5. I was told kind of around 10.3-ish, and then Fabrizio Romano reported 11. So that makes me believe there's probably a few stipulations in there based on performance and whatnot. But what I was told, and I'll report this further, was the Crew upped their offer kind of toward the end, which got the deal over the line a bit. But so record transfer fee, I expect, given
for
that
the Crew.
For the Crew, and seventh, I believe, all time in MLS. So, and what I believe he's going to be paid, if according to the transfer fee, somewhere around Lucas Celarayán's salary of about $3 million, 3.1 base salary. So he'll be one of the highest paid players in MLS as well,
which is like almost double or triple what he was making, right?
Like, I don't know what he was making at Watford, but on top of that, he's a young designated player for this year, so it's a lesser budget charge than even Jossy Zardes was on for this year before they traded him. And they amortized the transfer fee evenly over the next 3 years. So fairly good bit of business, it sounds like, there. And a player, a 23-year-old, as you said, Mike, who has kind of been on the up since he got to Europe. His best season was in the second division in Spain with Huesca, and they got promoted. And then he kind of bounced around on loan from Watford for a couple clubs, scored, I believe it was 11 goals in 79 games or something like that. And then Watford started only 11, but really came on and had 3 goals in 5 straight starts and then got hurt toward the end of the year. So you can make the argument that he would have scored more possibly, but a 23-year-old emerging into the Colombian national team as well. And I think, as you wrote in your column, Mike, and I'm sure we'll talk about a bit, a player that the Crew could potentially resell for more than they bought him for.
Yeah, Kyle, it's not often that an MLS team, well, it's never that an MLS team can poach a 23-year-old striker who seems to be on the come from the Premiership or technically the Championship, as Watford was relegated, which was a contributing factor to why they sold him. You can only have 11 non-homegrown players on your roster in the Championship League on game day. The new coach, and of course they were relegated, so they have a new coach. The old one got fired. Only wanted 11 non-homegrown players on his roster, and Cucho's the guy that given whatever new system he's going to put in, he felt was, he wanted a different kind of player. Hence, he was available. There was a, I don't know if you'd call it a bidding war, but there was something akin to that. Good on Tim Bezpachenko for winning it. But we're back to that. I think what some fans who don't know the international game want to know, Kyle, is how good is this guy? We should notice that he has scored against Real Madrid at Real. He has scored against
Barcelona.
He scored against Manchester City. I mean, we all love Eric Hurtado, but he hasn't scored goals against the team. How good could this guy be, Kyle?
Well, I think he could. I mean, it's, you know, they've never signed a young DP to this type of money before. I mean, I think it'd probably be in the top. I don't even know if there is anyone who, you know, I think there might be a couple. I think Atlanta may be one of the younger DPs that they have. But I mean, it's up there. I mean, they usually.
Well, here's the frame of reference I had in my column was Jermaine Defoe, who Bez signed in Toronto, was until Cucho signed in Columbus. And Jermaine Defoe was a top-level striker in the EPL.
But he was kind of on the decline. He was going down.
You know? He also played a number of more years, and injuries were a problem. It didn't work out well in Toronto. But they paid $10 million for him in 2015 or 2014 or whatever it was. I think he was 31 or 32 at the time, something like that. And that was the highest price that any MLS team had paid for an EPL striker or any player from the EPL until last week.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a great find. I mean, I think some of the names we've kind of talked about on the show earlier, you know, I don't think I wasn't that impressed with, but somebody like him who's 23, who's, you know, heading into his prime, has national team experience, has played in EPL. You know, I think it's the best outcome you could have asked for, realistically. I mean, obviously if you bring in a Messi or somebody else like that, but I mean, I don't think, you know, I mean, Haslam's could have an extra 20 or 230 million if they've used their money wisely. But I mean, I will say though, there is I think he's the right person they're looking for, a young 23-year-old
neck tattoo.
Yeah, had a little. Yes, I'm so happy about that. But I will say there is a little bit part of me that's like, hey, like, the dude's only scored like 16 goals in the last 4 years. So, I mean, compared to Zardes is like 35. So, you know, there is that kind of.
Right. And you're acknowledging, too, it's apples and oranges based on the leagues.
Yes.
So that's what makes this tough. And let's all be honest. Who among us has even watched one Watford game in the last, I don't know, two calendar years? I certainly haven't. So I haven't been watching this guy. No, he's shaking his head. What do you say, Mike, when that best color guy in the business for nothing?
That's right.
So what I go off of is I've been reading and listening to the Watford reporters over there and just kind of trying to take the pulse as much as I can off of social media and this move. And it seems like they're not disappointed given the transfer fee for this guy. But from what I've been listening to from their reporters is this is a guy who Watford wouldn't have mind that they were in the system. I believe the plan was to loan him or to give him to Udinese in Italy, which is also owned by the Watford owner. So that's one of the teams that the crew was competing with. But this is a player who I think showed his talent. And the phrase that I saw from the Athletic's Watford reporter was he wasn't always doing exceptional things.
Right.
But he was at times exceptional. So, when you translate that over to MLS, where the talent isn't as good and it's a very high attacking league, and you have a guy like Lucas El Arán behind you, I think there's valid reasons to be excited.
Well, Kyle, you look at his six highlights that, you know, we can generally see 6 to 10.
Yep.
The bicycle kick is because that's
or the volley or against Southampton.
Yeah, the volley outside of the foot inside the near post. That's and you know,
the or speed. The cutback or the one he had on the left side.
Yeah,
was I think that was this year that
again, from the top Aston Villa.
Yeah, that was mm-hmm. that was
so,
nice too.
So yeah, that's enough to yeah. make a crew fan go like, ooh. Ooh yeah. I mean, he can play at a different yeah. speed. I mean, it could be akin to. Well, you know what we're seeing in the NHL. I mean, right. there's guys that can play yeah. with right. less space at a higher rate of speed with right. a greater computer, if you will. And he looks like he may be wired thusly.
The only other thing I will say is that worries me a little bit is he's not your bigger striker. So, I mean, even like look at Diaz, who's kind of struggled with the constant fouls and that kind of stuff. So that's my other kind of concern. I mean, if you have two
like
concerns.
Like an injury perspective?
Yeah, you're going against center backs that are, I mean, I get it.
He looks pretty sturdy.
He does.
He's going against Premier League center backs.
Yeah, I know, but just.
And there's that too, Kyle. I'm not worried about that, to tell you the truth. Again.
I'm just saying
this is the way
if you're looking at a couple of things.
You're saying like being a target striker.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
I think in the modern game, crossing is not the way to score goals.
But so, the way Porter.
All right, we're getting far
with the wings. I mean,
Kyle, you be quiet. Let's get back on the ball here. Jacob, where is he right now?
I think he's great.
where physically is Cucho Hernandez right now, and what's going on going forward, and when can crew fans see him?
So he had a hamstring injury that sidelined him about 5 to 6 weeks toward the end of the year with Watford, came back for that final game, and then played a 45 with the Colombian national team and scored a goal. So what Caleb Porter was saying is he's completely healthy, which they were kind of surprised with, and you know they checked all that out in the medical. So it's expected. We were told maybe an introductory press conference Monday or Tuesday next week. Of course, they leave Tuesday for a game in Toronto on Wednesday. So that's the and if he's not in Monday, Tuesday, maybe it's after that. Regardless, I expect him to be in sometime next week, then training with the team probably before that Philadelphia game, if not right after, before they go to Chicago on July 9th. So he'll be in town and training, if not with the team, certainly individually. Before that Philadelphia game, it sounds like, and should be ready to play against Chicago when the window opens.
Now, this is for both of you guys. We're going to kick this around a little bit. Coach Caleb Porter has been clear since Giassi Zardes was moved on to Colorado that the missing piece here was a competent striker, and competent being my word. He used other words, some of them even disparaging, which he apologized for. But this is the one piece that he said he needs, and ascribed their struggles to missing this one piece. Now he has it. There's 20 games remaining in the season. If all goes well, Cucho Hernandez will be here with 17 games remaining in the season, which is the second half of the season. And presently, your Columbus Crew has 17 points through 14 games. They're 3-3-1 at home. And by the way, they're 10-7-3 all time in their new stadium, which isn't exactly Charlotte's going to have a better home record before long.
So they have lost or drawn as many games as they won in the news. That's poor.
Yeah, that's very. So they have 14 points. They're in 11th place. They're 3 teams removed from 7th place. There's an expansion team in 7th place, and Cincinnati's in 8th. All around, not a good look for the Crew right now. My question is it too late for Cucho to have an impact on this season?
No, I don't think so, because when he gets here, there'll be half a season left. And, I mean, to draw the ultimate comparison, it was only a few years ago when Wayne Rooney got to D.C. and they were in last place and were hosting a playoff game. So that is certainly the upper echelon of possibilities.
Yeah, we were at that playoff game.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I think as we were talking before the show, Mike, even though the Crew has at least a game or two in hand with some of these teams, they're 8 points out of the top four right in the East, which would get them to host a playoff game.
Yeah.
So that's still, you can make that up in, they have 20 games left, 17 when Cucho gets here, but it is a large gap, 3 points. Is not. They can make the playoffs, but when you get a player like that, you expect to make a run. You can't just bow out in the first round.
Again, I'm not sanguine about their chances of hosting a playoff game. I say that because there's so many teams ahead of them. And so to put it simply, all right, tell me who among the top four you're going to catch. New York City, New York Red Bulls, Philadelphia, Orlando. This isn't just, all right, we're adding the best striker in the league, so now we'll be hosting a home playoff game. There's a long road ahead. And these other teams, they have coaches and players and good players, and they play hard, and they're better at home than the Crew is, and they're better on the road than the Crew is, depending on the team. This isn't a given by any means. It's a huge addition. The hope is that it is a revelation, and that this team just catches fire like it hasn't had for any long stretch, save for the fall and winter of 2020,
right.
And for a stint in Orlando earlier that season. Is it possible? Yeah. I'm sitting back saying, okay, show me now. You have your striker.
So is Caleb in the hot seat then?
I would think he has to be. I think if this is what he said he needs and you give it to him for a record transferred fee for your team, $10.5 million is a big outlay. A $3 plus million salary for a young DP is a major outlay. Credit to ownership for signing the check. Credit for what was a prolonged process of identifying any number of candidates, scouting them, and getting down the path of negotiating, and then finally landing on this guy. And they did probably as well as they could do. So now, to me, it has to be on the coach because he has exactly what he wants. And the other way to look at that, and Jacob, I'm curious for your thoughts as well as Kyle's on this, is that have we not heard that this is a playoff team for the last 2 years? Is it a talented enough team to be in the playoffs for the last 2 years? If it is, and I think it's fair to say that that's the way that management has built them as a playoff caliber team with playoff caliber talent, they missed the playoffs last year, and they're in 11th place right now. So if they were a playoff team without Cucho, do they automatically become a playoff team with Cucho?
Well, I think they were. They should have been a playoff team before they had him. Yeah. I think there was enough talent. Yeah.
So, again, we can talk about injuries and stuff, but we are this year.
They've been pretty healthy.
We are back to the coach again, okay? This team has underperformed according to exactly what they've laid out for themselves. Yes.
And objectively, I would even say last year with all the injuries, I think you could objectively say they should have gotten at least two more points, which would have put them in the playoffs last year, even with all the injuries they had. I think the talent they had was probably capable for at least one more win instead of a draw or another two draws instead of two losses, right? And that would have put them in. So I think that's completely accurate. Now, watching these games, you do come away. And Jossi hasn't lit up anything since he's gone to Colorado, too. Is any of those three players, Eric Hurtado, is playing well now? But I don't think you can look at any of these games this year and say, no, that the striker position is fine. It's been pretty clear, I feel like, what they're missing is another guy who can create on his own.
Okay.
Well, I hope it unlocks everybody else. I mean, I think you'll have that, but I mean, you're still looking at people that they brought in who haven't quite lived up to the billing or what they want. I mean, Eric Hurtado is your second leading goal scorer at 3 goals. No one besides Derek has more than one assist. So, I mean, there's a lot of guys that they brought in even this offseason or even the season before. I mean, I'm really curious to see how Kevin Molina does now that he's kind of back, you know, healthy and kind of see how he. But I mean, I hope it unlocks everybody else is what I'm looking forward to, because I think they have the pieces. It's just if Caleb can kind of get them all to perform.
And we'll talk about formations and what they could look like with Cucho Hernandez, maybe back in their old one striker format. And we'll see, Kyle, I'm sure you have some thoughts on that. I just want to conclude my whiny rant with. You know, if I'm a fan, I'm looking at Cincinnati is above the Crew in the standings. Charlotte's an expansion team. They're above the Crew in the standings. Again, this is a hyped Crew team, hyped by the team itself. And then, you know, if I'm a old line Crew fan, I'm looking at the other conference, and then I'm looking at Austin, which is a clearly better team than the Crew right now by any measure.
They went to LAFC and got a victory.
That's what I mean. It's
so you're saying it's coaching.
I'm saying if I'm a Crew fan, I have every right to be frustrated.
Yeah.
I'd like to see. I haven't seen a lot of heart from this team, especially last year. They're underperforming according to exactly what they put forth as their goals. This is a very aspirational signing. It's going to mean something and be impactful for the team, I believe, in years going forward. If I'm a Crew fan, I'm worried that the season's already gotten away from them. But you get in the playoffs, they got to get into the top seven. Charlotte's sitting there in seventh place with 16 points. That's only 3 points ahead of the Crew with more than half a season to go. So I don't want to talk out of school here. Now, about the formations, Jacob, in that very bad home draw with Charlotte, which hasn't won a road game this year. They haven't lost at home either, by the way, I think. But that's a bad draw at home against Charlotte, especially as you're trying to tread water ahead of a major signing. Not tread water, but actually make up grounds and perform to the level you should. Now, he went with a 3-5-2, Caleb Porter did in that game, to good effect at times. I don't want to be overly critical of it, to good effect for good reasons, and it by and large worked well. They didn't get 3 points, which they should have. But that aside, what will be in this league a premier striker into the mix? Does he go back to his favorite formation? How will this thing fit together?
Assuming everyone's healthy, yeah, I think they do go back to the 4-2-3-1. When they did move to a 4-3-3, it was fairly effective at times, though I could see them doing that maybe more on the road to give you more stability in the midfield with, if Artur's healthy, Nagby, and then either Aiden Morris or James Igbekeme. I would say Aiden Morris has kind of proven himself more.
I love Aiden Morris.
I know the club likes him too. Jesus. I mean, every time they mention like players or young players up and coming, along with saying, "Oh, we have Zellerion and Darlington Nagby," the next name mentioned is often Aiden Morris.
What an engine!
But to your point, I think they go to a 4-2-3-1. I didn't mind the formation they put the last game. I thought they just put, given how many people were out, their best team on the field and see what could work. But yeah, you got to put Lucas underneath Cucho, try to develop a combination between them, and then you could do a line of three up there. But your wingers, I think you go with your tried and true. Derek Etienne's played pretty well this year.
Yeah, leads the team in assists.
And the right side, I think, is a question mark. But with Kevin Molino healthy, maybe you put him in there. So I look at going Pedro Santos when he comes back from a hamstring injury.
Let's talk about injuries, because there's been a spate of late.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out today who is all available. But the one name we know will play this next game and wasn't able to play last game was Jonathan Mensah, after he had a scary head injury on international duty with Ghana.
Ooh.
And it was said that he had stitches in his head and didn't practice for like 10 days. So that's why he wasn't able to play in the last game. But he's good now and was training at the open practice that we were at, Kyle, this past week. So he should play. I would think Miloš Degenek next to him. And then Steven Moreira, I like a lot. I think he and Pedro, when Pedro's healthy, are two of the best outside back combination in the league, truly. And then you go with Nagby, and I like Aiden Morris in the middle there. As long as Artur's coming back. I saw him after the open practice, and he didn't have a boot on or anything now. He had kind of a sleeve over his, I want to say, his right leg and his right calf there from an injury against Atlanta. So I expect he might miss another game here. And Lucas Zellerion wasn't full training yet, so he might be out. But when healthy, I would say Molino on the right, Etienne on the left, and then Cucho.
Kyle, you want to weigh in?
No, I think I think the only thing I would think is, I don't know if Molina can go the whole 90. So I don't know if you bring him in, you know, in the second half, or do you put James on the right?
Or you have him start Yeah. By the time Cucho gets here, he might be 90 minutes fit. But if not, maybe do a 60 to 75 and do a two strikers with Barry or Hurtado next to Cucho. There's a lot of fun things to think about
here. Or even do like the three up top and have Barry in the middle and Cucho and Zellerion on his
We see Zellerion next game, or will they wait till midweek?
I don't know if he's ready. Just given that he wasn't full training earlier this week, I don't think he'll play full. He could come off the bench.
Yeah. And one of the reasons I ask is because, and Kyle, tell me what you think, but Lucas has played out of his comfort zone the way he's been moved around. To me, one of the most exciting aspects of getting a player of Cucho Hernandez's caliber to play up top is Zellerion goes back to his natural 10.
Yeah.
And
creates the space that he needs.
That combination, you know, you put it together with whoever's on the wings, be it ATN and Yeboah. Right. And then when you talk about Artur and Nagbe in central midfield, that's an MLS playoff team. You know, that is the core of an MLS playoff team. And to me, they could have two of the most exciting offensive players in the league. And we're always talking about these teams out west with the, you know, we're mentioning we can go down a list of guys, but like Zellerion in combination with Hernandez is potentially very badass.
Yeah, no, I mean, but if you're looking for the right person, I would think the crew would be looking for someone that would unlock Lucas's ability to, you know, either attack and, you know, get the goals that he does, or, you know, to play the balls out to the wing. You know, I just feel like he's going to be less burden, I would say, or less on his shoulders, that he can kind of go back to doing what he was doing, you know, kind of before, you know. But it'd be interesting to see who takes the free kicks too, because Kucher's
teams
supposed to be
have been
good.
Cutting the head off the snake here and going right after Lucas Zellerion for the last year and a half.
I would say this year too, he's played objectively much better than last year, and the numbers really haven't been there.
He's been dinged up though. He keeps on.
He has been for sure. Knee. The last eight games, he's had one assist, no goals, and he started in six of those games. Yeah. And I would say he's probably played pretty well. Yeah. Like, his decision making has been fantastic.
He's terrific player.
And to your point about someone who can unlock him, getting another guy who can kind of create for himself. Lucas is a guy who can find the final pass, but I would say he's more of a goal scorer than someone who, like Pipa, is the kind of assist machine as a number 10. And getting another guy like Cucho who can kind of create on his own, maybe he can find Lucas and slip him in. Just an interesting thought.
All right.
You know what kind of reminds me of? I mean, if people follow hockey, but it's like the Oilers. You got two premium guys up front in McDavid and...
Similar goaltender situation
Oh, geez. That was
left it out there. I had to tee you up.
Mike Smith in that here for...
they're about the same.
That's an Eloy Room diss there, man.
We'll just state that he saved the crew against Atlanta, like totally won the game for him, and then gave up a terrible goal against Charlotte.
Well, the other goalie
did
wasn't.
Did he get an assist on that Charlotte goal? He probably should have.
Yeah. And hockey assist.
It's possible the Charlotte goalie had a worse game in room than wow. I don't know. Is there anything else you guys want to add? Randy, you have any questions? we brought my lawyer today. Don't go anywhere without your lawyer. anything else you guys want to cover before Patrick turns the lights out here?
A lot of good content on
what's upcoming for games.
They have RSL at RSL this weekend.
Right.
Late
10 o'clock game. Yeah, I'm going zip lining during the day.
There you go.
Looking forward to that.
You going on vacation this week too?
No, that's in a month. I got another one.
Oh, Jesus.
So, hey, you got to use your days, Mike.
Yeah.
Before they take them from you.
Mike just calls off.
Go golfing. But they got RSL, then at Toronto in the midweek, and then home against Philadelphia Union. That should be a big one.
Yeah.
On 4th of July weekend.
And if all goes well, July 9th at Chicago it will be the debut of the newest
Ezra member. Hendrickson against the Crew.
Yeah. Ooh.
No. Yeah, Cucho's first game should be at Chicago. And then his first home game, Hell is Real, on the 17th.
Perfect time.
It's been a hard go. 40% of the regular season's been played. The Crew has the seventh worst record in the league, and they're 21st of 28 teams in goals for, fifth best in goals against. Kudos to them for that. 17 against. Only four teams in the league have fewer wins at home. By most measures, this is a team that is once again middling, and perhaps this spark will unlock what appears to be a good depth of talent and what should be a playoff team. Yeah. Welcome, Cucho Hernandez. Thank you for joining us here at the Speakeasy. Please go to dispatch.com and check out all of Jacob's and Kyle's excellent work, as well as the Podfather's various twistings on all the electronic things we post there at dispatch.com. The man is an artist, if not a gentleman. So that's it for today. We'll join you again soon, probably next week. Patrick, kick us out of here.